Amen. All right, so we're going to continue on this morning with our series. We're working through Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the full armor of God. So we're going to jump right into it. Come on. All right, now what? It worked just... Lloyd, you saw it work before, right? Okay, we're going to have to work on that in the meantime because I'm not sure why that's doing that. Yeah, please. Yeah, technology is great right up until it isn't, right? It worked 10 minutes ago. Seriously. All right, anyway, Ephesians chapter 6. Not today, Satan. Ephesians 6. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Nothing's going to keep us from the Word of God this morning. So let's read, if you would, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to... Guys are catching on. Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation. I'm wondering if we just need new batteries for this, so we'll work on that. But anyway, here's what we've covered so far in our study through Ephesians chapter 6, all right? What Paul is telling us here is that first and foremost, we need to understand our fight, our struggle in this world is not against each other, it's against the devil. He is the source of all the evilness, all the ugh that's in this world, not against people. Right, we understand that people are hurt, they're broken, and so they do things that are hurt and broken to themselves, to each other, and oftentimes we are the recipients of that, but we understand and we have grace for each other while we wage war with the enemy. Then the first thing he says is to stand firm. He says it three times before he even put any piece of the armor on. He says to stand firm. It's our ready stance. It's our place of being at our strongest, right? And the ready stance is an attitude of forgiveness. It is quick to forgive the hurts that have been done to us, not becoming so rigid and so immovable that the slightest infraction, the slightest hurt, the slightest offense knocks us over, takes us off our strength, and gives the enemy an advantage over us. How many of you do not want the enemy to have an advantage over you? How many of you are tired of him picking on you and having his way and trying to, you know, and seeing all that stuff? He said, God says the quickest way to defuse that is to have an attitude that is quick to forgive other people. Then we put on the armor of God. The first thing, the primary defensive tool is God's truth. The loins, it guards our loins. It guards the center of support, right? His truth. His truth, not our individualistic, subjective truth is what you make it. No, God's truth in his word, his immovable, steadfast truth, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the plumb line, the measuring line by which we bring everything else in our lives into alignment with this, rather than trying to take this and make it fit our preconceived ideas, our notions, how we want life to be, and trying to make him fit it. That's not how it works, all right? God's truth is our primary defense. Everything else hangs off the belt of truth. It is based in it, flows from that. Then we put on the body armor, the breastplate of righteousness. God's righteousness protects us from the sins of today, the small arms fire, the temptations, the things that Satan lobs at you, puts in your path to get you to sidestep, misstep, be sidetracked. We recognize that, nope, that's not right standing with God. That's against God's ways. I'm going to deflect that and keep moving forward. I'm not going to get sidetracked, right? Then we put on the boots of peace. We walk in peace. It's not something that we arrive at. It's a state of being that we walk in, which is the result of being in right standing with God. When we are right with God, when we have acknowledged our faults and said, God, you know, have your way, forgive me, and I'm going to do the best I can to follow after you, then that results in a state of peace. We're not in conflict. And so when we... then we're able to walk or run in peace, right? And then we put on the helmet of salvation. We covered this last week. We went out of order because I didn't have my prop for the shield. It showed up this week, so that's why we're doing the shield of faith. But the helmet of salvation protects us from the sins of yesterday. Our righteousness protects us from the sins of today. The helmet protects our thoughts from the schemes, the lies, the doubt, the fear, the whispering of the enemy who says, who do you think you are? What about this, that, the other thing? Can you really trust God's word? All that? Our helmet of salvation protects us against that, protects our minds, because our future is secure. If we have said yes to Jesus Christ, if we have asked him to forgive us of our sins, then our future is secure. And as a result of that, the devil can't harass us about that anymore. All he can do is try and harass us about our past. Amen. All right, Lauren, you want to try that, or batteries? What do you want to do here? We pause 10 seconds or a little longer for technical difficulties here. We got one of each here, or? Oh, that one. Okay. There it is. All right, I'll give you this. I'll give that. Let me take that out. You can take that. I'll take that. Do that. Turn it on. Thanks. Yep, thank you, Lord, and thank you, Lloyd. There you go. All right, so that's what we've covered so far. Today, we're gonna talk about it. Pick up the shield. So, I'm going to pick up my shield this morning. Now, you guys have said that you appreciate the props, that it's helping you to learn, and so I thought, well, there's no more iconic shield in our culture right now probably than this one, and I've always wanted one, so that's the lengths that I'll go to. I will go to any lengths, right, to give you a reference to hang on to, all right? So I'm just going to keep this up here. I'm going to hang it on all day because we pick up our shield. That's the point we're making. We don't want to lay down our shield in the time we most need it. We pick up the shield. Paul says, pick it up, put it on, carry it with you. What's the purpose of a shield? I mean, now as we go through the scriptures, like there are 17 verses in the scriptures that talk about God being our shield. He's the one. And it's primarily in the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament, primarily in the Psalms, which were written by David, who was a man, he was a warrior. He was a soldier. He understood warfare. And so time and time again, he says, God, you are my shield. Though there is evil and all this stuff all around me, God, you are my shield. He understood the value of having a big piece of armor that goes out in front of you to protect you from the really big stuff, the missiles, the incoming attacks. You know, body armor protects little things, right? But we said it, and we said this going back, right? You know, ammunition can defeat armor. You just get bigger ammo. If you get bigger ammo, you need bigger armor. And so there's a we put a shield up. And David says, God, you are my fortress. You are my bulwark. You are my shield, right? So the bigger the situation, the bigger our God is, the bigger his shield gets. One of the first encounters David had was going up against Goliath, the literal giant. He was over 10 feet tall, the enemy of Israel. And he stood out there and he was threatening him. And Goliath was so big, he had a normal-sized human being who all he did was carry a shield and put it in front of him. That was his job, to protect the areas that because Goliath, he's so tall, probably couldn't reach his shins, you know, so they would protect that, cover the vital areas so that Goliath could stand behind that shield and lob his big spears and whatever else he was doing as the assault, okay? So David understood a shield. Let's read Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song, I shall thank him. So God is our shield bearer, all right? When we understand that God is going before us, that he is protecting us, we're putting our trust in that, saying, man, nothing's going to penetrate God's armor, then we have reason to rejoice and be at peace. We can say, okay, I'm pretty secure here because God's got this, all right? Now, the idea of shields, it's interesting. All these God is our shield, all in the Old Testament. Only one reference to a shield in the New Testament. It's Ephesians 6. We just read it. So I thought, well, that's interesting. Why is that the only place? And why is Paul so specific about picking up a shield? And it's when we're talking about the body, you know, the armor of God. Now, in Paul's day, the idea of a shield, you know, was nothing new. I mean, and the idea of armies using shields and using them more than just one, but using an entire covering. That goes as far back as the Egyptians, but in Paul's day, the Romans, The Greeks, you know, they had kind of like mastered the art of moving as a unit with the shield up, okay? And they understood tactics, because what used to happen is, okay, we're going to have this fight, and so all the guys would just go out there kind of like, yeah, it's just big, it's all chaos, you know, one guy against the other. And they started to learn, hey, if we can move as a group, and we can put shields up, and we can, you know, and we can handle the incoming fire and not take any casualties or reduce our injuries, then we can be more effective moving forward, all right? Now, I cannot in good conscience recommend that you go home and watch the movie 300, okay? It's pretty rough. However, if you want to watch the clips on YouTube, which removes a lot of the really yucky parts, okay, you can watch how this stuff works in action in warfare. I mean, you know, and there's a scene there, the 300 against the Greek hordes, you know, 300 guys stand there and they lock shields, and because here comes the big assault. Here comes the invading, you know, they're outnumbered like 10 to 1 or whatever it is. They're coming in. And so all they can do is put this shield up and let the enemy come in and hit that shield, and they just buckle down and hold. They're not on the offensive. They're not trying to go out there and take guys out. They have to let the enemy come in, get close, and I'm going to have to take that hit. And I love it's a fantastic scene, because they're holding, you know, the enemy's pushing in and they're against the shield and they keep digging back until, you know, hold until now. And you see them dig their heels in, stop. Now we're moving forward, right? Boom, shield comes out, you know, now we go on the offensive. Now, that's a little insensitive for, you know, for Sunday morning for church. We can't talk about warfare. Paul says we are in combat with an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So we don't downplay what his intentions are. We understand that we are in the fight of our lives against him, and if we don't take him seriously, he's going to take us out. That's the bad news. The good news is God has given us every piece of the armor that we need to be victorious in him and to put the devil to flight. Amen. Okay. Maybe you guys don't believe that this morning yet. That's okay. So Paul says, pick up the shield of faith. Take it up. Well, what is faith? Well, that's kind of a small subject, isn't it? I mean, we could spend, well, we did last year. We spent like 6 months talking about what is faith, right? So go back and watch, you know, listen to those messages, all right? But let's read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. This is a central verse for our very existence as followers of Jesus Christ. Let's read this. This is God talking, all right? So we understand the context. This is him speaking. He says, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Now that verse gets repeated in the New Testament, especially Paul repeats it over and over again. It's in Romans 1, 16 and 17, Galatians 3, 11, Hebrews 10, 38. All of them directly quote Habakkuk 2, 4. The righteous shall live by faith. And what we see, I mean, faith is one of the elementary principles in Hebrews chapter 6. The writer says, these are the six things that every believer should absolutely know. They're the basic foundations. Faith in God. Trusting in something that we cannot see, but yet we believe it, and that's what determines our actions. That's how we move, okay? Faith, from the scriptures that we see here, faith is an attitude of humility, of putting God first. That's what it comes down to. I am trusting and putting God first in every area of my life, in what he has done, and in therefore what he is going to do. That's what faith is. Belief in something I cannot see, but I believe it so strongly it's going to dictate and direct my actions. Okay? Notice what Habakkuk 2:4 does not say. It does not say that the righteous, it says the righteous will live by faith, right? It does not say the faithful will live by their righteousness. Ooh. Well, I thought it was about what I do, and that's what justifies me, and that's what makes me good, and that's what, you know, what I do increases my faith. No, Paul says that God says it's the other way around. Your faith, putting God first, directs your actions, and that results in righteousness, that results in good works. Okay. Humility. Right? God says the proud one, his soul's not right within him. The proud one says, I got this. Right? I can handle this. I got this. The humble person before God says, God, I don't got this. I need you in every area of my life that I can't control. So let me ask you the question, how much in your life can you actually control? What'd you say? How you treat the world is what you control, right? So which comes back to, your actions are the result of what you believe, and if I believe in God and his ways first, then that's going to direct my actions, right? But the vast majority of stuff we can't control. So I don't got this. God, I need you. I need you to work on my behalf. I need you to show me. I need you to lead me and guide me, right? So first and foremost, faith defends. It is a defensive weapon, okay? It holds the line. Faith is the shield we put in front of us to absorb the big hits in life. As we put all the pieces of the armor together, we understand that our body armor, like I said, our righteousness protects us against the day-to-day stuff, the temptations, the little things, the small arms fire. Our helmet protects us, protects our mind against the thoughts of the enemy. Our shield protects us against the troubles of this world, the big stuff. The heavy artillery that the enemy lobs at us, which are simply the situations, the events, the circumstances, the evil, the fallenness of this world, because we live in a fallen world, we live in an imperfect world, and so he uses and directs things to assault us, to distract us, to frustrate us, to hurt us. All a result of living in a fallen world. We understand that God is good all the time. God does not do evil things. He does not do bad things. Can't. It's not his nature. And we'll talk about this in a little bit, though, but you know, I think that's where a lot of people struggle, because they see evil in the world and think that God's behind it. Right? But again, Jesus told us, you know, the enemy has come. His only desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. You may have life and have it abundantly. Okay, so God is good, devil bad. So if the devil is the source behind all those things, even though he uses people and he seeks an advantage and will use them to manipulate and to work his schemes to cause hurt and mayhem and disorder, right? So when the big stuff comes, again, the things that are beyond our control, faith defends. It holds a line. It stands firm. It stands fast. Okay. So like. I was an instructor for many years in law enforcement, and now as a parole officer, I didn't carry a shield with me, because we talked about how a shield, you know, anytime you're going to carry bigger armor, you're going to trade away mobility. You're going to trade away your ability to go on the offensive. Like I said, you can drive a tank, which would be really secure, but you're going to run over a lot of people and make a big mess while you're doing it. Right? So you don't typically use a shield when you only are facing one opponent. Typically, the shields come out when you're facing bigger numbers, bigger ordnance, bigger ammunition. That's when the shields come out. So we see the shield come out, when the riots happen, then the police show up with the shield. When you're in a jail, in a cell block, and the prisoners are having a riot, then the guards bring the shields out. Okay. Now I've had a lot of experience with shields, and I trained with a lot of them, even though I didn't carry one myself. So I would go, and you have to train how to use a shield, okay? So we would stack up in teams, I'm wearing a shirt today because that's where one of the trainings I was at. It was at the Northeast Counter Drug Task Force out at Fort Indiantown Gap. So they have houses set up. You can go in and do all this high-risk entry stuff. And so they're like, okay, you know, so my team would be out there and say, okay, you guys are going to go into this house. You're going to do a high-risk entry into this house. We need somebody to carry this shield up front. Now, the shield was big. It wasn't around. It wasn't like this. You know, it was 4 feet, kind of rectangular thing. And you put it, why? Because the shield is designed to absorb the impact when you're walking into a dangerous situation. You're walking into the unknown. I'm not sure what's in this room. I'm not sure what's waiting for me. You put a shield up to walk in so that the rest of your team can filter in and get ready to control and go on the offensive. Okay? So they would say, okay, we're gonna hit this room. I said, well, you 4 or 5, you're stacked up. We need somebody to carry a shield. It was always me. You carried a shield. Why? Why would I carry a shield? Because I'm a big guy, right? I'm the biggest guy on my team. I'm 6'2", 250 pounds. So they said, you're a big guy. You carried a shield. We're not going to give it to the girl who's 5'4", 110 pounds. No, I'm not disrespecting that, because she had her own role to play in the team. But they said, well, the first guy through the door, you want to be the biggest, scariest, ugliest, whatever, to walk in the door to, like, whoa, you know, if you have an enemy who is waiting for you, waiting to unleash something, and they know you're coming, and that door opens, and all you see is a big shield and a big, strong guy behind it, you kind of go, well, maybe that's not a fight I want to get into. So you get to shield them, because if something comes, then you can hold the line and you can endure that while the rest of your team now gets into a place of safety, a place of superior tactical advantage, so they can control the situation. All right, that's what shields, that's how it works. So again, I was always the guy carrying a shield. What David is saying, what Paul is saying in these scriptures is that God is the first guy through the door in your team. You're facing the unknown. You're facing an unknown opposition. You're facing an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't go in there and say, I got this. Let me go in there and get blindsided or get taken out by the threats I don't know there. Put God first. Let him be the first guy. Let him protect you. Let him put his shield up and let him walk through the door. Let him absorb all those hits so that you can say, okay, now I know what we got going on here. I see this, that, the other thing. Now we can align ourselves. Now we can gain the advantage. Let God be your shield, all right? So intentionally put him first. Faith is hope or it's trust. As you read through the scriptures, you understand that those words are often used interchangeably. Let's read Romans 8:24. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? Okay. So as we would do this, move tactically, you know, you have to understand every person has a job to do and everyone has to protect their zone. And that was the hardest thing. Like, okay, you got the shield, you walk in, you have to hold this area right here. That's the zone you're guaranteed. You're supposed to cover. Don't worry about what's over here because your teammate has that. Don't worry about what's over here, your teammate has that. Your job is right here. And that was the hardest part because you're in here and, well, maybe nothing's happening right here, but I hear some noise over there. Ooh, what's he doing? Ooh, I want to get on the action over there. And every time we would do that, because they were looking for this kind of stuff, the instructors, the role players, they were good. And the second you went, ooh, what's over there? Up pops this threat that you didn't see was sitting there before. So they focused on it and said, don't worry about what's over there. Your job is right here. You hold that line, you protect it. You're the last guy in the room. Oh man, everyone else is clearing the house. Your job is to stay right here in this room to make sure to cover the back, that nobody else sneaks in from outside or there wasn't somebody hiding. That's your job. And our temptation is we want to go, ooh, what's up? And that's where trust comes in. It was tremendous team building exercise because you learn to trust each other and say, okay, I'm trusting that you're going to handle that while I take care of this. I got your back, you got mine, right? So the scriptures are saying, God's got it. He's got this part. He's protecting you. But it takes trust on our part to really say, yeah, okay, God, you're going to cover that while I'm over here. And that's where we get in trouble because we don't believe that. I don't think God's got my back over there, so I got to go over here, and I got to run over here, and I got to get involved, and we're running all over the place, and we're not accomplishing anything. God says, God's your shield. He's the first guy in the door. Let him stack up. Let him hold that part while you get set, right? Faith is moving as a unit with God, trusting he is covering you from the threats you cannot see. So you got to stay in your zone. That's what we got to do. We got to stay in our zone. All right. So what are the big hits in life? What are some of the big hits in life? What are the things that are, we said faith is defensive. It's going to hold the line. What are the kinds of things that are going to expend itself upon this shield where all you can do, we're saying, is to stand firm, not give up ground? What are some of those things? Well, I mean, again, the stuff in this life that we can't control, sicknesses, diseases. I don't care if it's COVID or cancer or anything else. There is stuff in this world that attacks our bodies because we live in a fallen world. These bodies are imperfect. They're gonna return to dust one day until Jesus comes and makes us new again, gives us a new body. That body that will live forever. These bodies don't. They give out. And there is stuff in this world. There is sicknesses. There are plagues. There's all this stuff because the world is slowly falling apart because of sin. And so those things attack us. And that in those moments, and I understand, I've been through it. I'm sure everyone here has had some experience like that, either gone through it themselves or know someone. And you have to, in those moments, you question, God, where are you? In those moments, you have an opportunity to say, no, I'm going to hunker down behind this shield and let the enemy expend himself on this, or I'm going to give it up and give up my cover and go off and do my own thing and abandon my cover. And when we do that, when we abandon God's cover, we end up in a worse place. Now we start blaming God, we start doing this, we start looking for blame somewhere, and when we do those things, the enemy has his way. He gains an advantage over us. He attacks us. Now everything else is subject, right? Because we're talking about big ordnance, right? Your normal armor can't handle that. Ammunition defeats armor. And so, I abandoned my shield. No wonder now I'm feeling overwhelmed. Now I'm feeling like my thoughts are not where they're supposed to be. Now I'm struggling here. Now I'm struggling in my emotions. Now I'm struggling in my relationships. All these things. Why? Because we gave up our cover. The tragedies, the unfairness of life. and I know every person in this room or watching under the day has been affected by that. You've lost a love, you lost a child, you lost a spouse, you lost someone before their time. Accidents, fires, all this stuff that happens, you think, well, okay, well, how can, you know, and in my opinion, this right here is the number one reason, the number one obstacle that people have in coming to a relationship with God. If God is so loving, if he's so all-powerful, if he's all-knowing, how can he allow bad stuff to happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? They didn't deserve it. We struggle with that, you know? And when that stuff comes, again, you get an opportunity. You have a choice to make. Am I going to hunker down behind God? I'm going to let the enemy expend himself on that and put my faith in God, who I cannot see, but who I trust, who's covering my back and that his ways are best? Or am I going to give up my cover, abandon that, and go it alone and take my chances and see what happens? Betrayals or hurts? I won't ask for a show of hands, but, you know, has anybody here never been hurt by a relationship? Never been betrayed? And I mean, no, not just, you know, like a minor offense. I'm talking about something that hurt, that shakes you to your core. And that's what I'm talking about, folks. You know, these kind of things, these are not little incidents. They are the life-shattering, teeth-rattling things that you go through. You know, relationships, marriages that dissolve as a result of hurts. You know, when your marriage is under attack, under assault, you have to recognize where it comes from. It's not your spouse is not your enemy. Jenny and I say it a lot. It's become kind of our habit. We say it a lot. You know, if we're having like the disagreement, I'm on your team. I'm on your side. Okay, our fight's not with each other. So let's come. We can come together. And we kind of dissolve that. And you're like, okay, that's right. You know, all right. I know. Okay. Now we focus on where the real threat is, who the real enemy is here, right? But you got in those moments when those assaults are coming, you know, the thoughts, the emotions are welling up, you got to hunker down behind God's shield of faith and say, no, God, I'm putting my faith in you, in your word, what you say, and I'm going to hold fast, I'm going to stand firm here, whether it's 5 seconds or it's going to take a year or 16 years in our case for some things, I'm going to hold fast behind it until you tell me it's time to move. In all these situations, again, it is critical that you stay behind cover, that you not give up that ground. Okay? Again, in my experience, in my opinion, when relationships fall apart, it's because we gave up God's cover. We gave up his protection, his most fundamental things. Our pride keeps us from acknowledging the things that we've done wrong. We can't say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I often am. Please forgive me. Or we can't forgive somebody else. We can't have grace for each other. We start keeping a record. This, and now it's piled up, and now it's done. When we do that, when we abandon our cover, right, then those things start to creep in, and then they start to pile up, and then we say, okay, now I'm done. And why? Because we've opened ourselves up to an attack. We've allowed the enemy to infiltrate, to attack our righteousness, to attack our salvation, to attack our security, to affect our peace, all of it, because we've abandoned our cover. Right? So the shield is there to help you to stand firm until it's time to move. When the enemy, when he's unleashing his assaults at you, right? Again, you got a whole, like in 300, you know, they all this stuff, all these guys, until, you know what? They got to reload at some point. Your enemy has to reload sometime. When that moment pauses, when there's that break, then it's time to move. And you'll know because God will tell you. All right, now it's time to go on the offensive. Now it's time, and we'll talk about some situations here in just a minute. But again, you got to do it when you know, okay, God is my shield, he's my cover, he's protecting me. Now here's the advantage. I'm not going to abandon my cover simply because I don't trust God anymore, because I think I can do this on my own. So faith defends, faith also moves. That's what faith is. It's action, right? Let's read Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Conviction means the evidence. means I've never seen God face to face, but I have seen the evidence of him in all his creation. And the more I look for him, the more I see him. The more I see the evidence, the more he reveals himself. And so because of that evidence, I am compelled in moving forward. I respond to it. So faith moves towards an unseen future as if it were a present reality. That's what Christianity itself is all about. God says, you put your faith in me, and then you live according to our relationship, even though you have not seen me face to face. That's the very basis of what it means to be saved. God, I put my trust in you. I believe in you. I believe that your son died for my sins, and that he rose from the dead. I didn't see Jesus' resurrection. Was anybody else there that day? No? Okay. I wasn't there, but I believe it happened. And as a result of that, now that moves me, that causes me to live in a specific way according to God's guidelines. Because if that's true, then everything else he said is true. Raising kids is an act of faith. Lola's got like a kid on each arm over there, you know. Right? Understand, okay? Your kids are not from Satan. There's times you may think they are, but they're not, okay? And kids, it's the same way. Your parents are not from Satan. No, your kids are given to you by God because he believes that you are the right person to be the mentor, the model, the role model, the guide for them, to help them and equip them for their own life. God believes that you're the right person for that job. But raising kids is not the kind of thing where you often get an immediate return for your investment. Right? I mean, you know, if you have a difficult conversation, you have to discipline your child, or you even just having the conversation about life, you know, like, okay, well, you know, what is life? What is marriage? What is the world we live in? And you have those conversations. It is rare for your child or your teenager to walk around, hey, Mom, Dad, thanks for that conversation. I feel a lot better about that, and that's going to really impact the way I live my life from here on. It does, you know? Okay, well. I was a teenager once. My parents were idiots, clearly. Right, I know. You know? Pride, right? Again, the righteous, you know, the pride. I know better than that. What do they know? Hummel says, oh, man, I don't... You know, now, Mom, Dad, what would you do here? I got something I don't know. I've never faced it before. What did you do? Okay, all right. But again, raising kids, or even, you know, I'm so thankful for our Sunday school workers this morning who are back there teaching our kids. You know, they're doing Elevate preview for Elevate in our third through sixth grade class. You know, getting to know here's what Elevate's going to look like. You know, but serving in those ministries again. Now, when you're little and you pour into the kids, where's Duffy at? Duffy's sitting. We were having this conversation, right? Duffy's like, I like teaching the kids because they're sponges, the little kids. You know, teenagers, adults. You know, it's tough because student ministries for a long time, you know, and you're pouring into kids, and again, you rarely do you give a message or say something that the kid comes, wow, that really made me think, that's really, you know, my life. No, they're like, well, you know, you're making an investment on a trust that what you're saying is going to come back maybe 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 30 years from now, that they're going to remember and go, you know what, now, you know, when I remember my pastor, my youth leader, my parents, my mentor, whatever it was, talking about that very thing. And now I remember, and that gives me, now I know what to do. Right? But they have to learn through their own experience. You're just trying to give them all the tools that when that situation arises, they go to the right tool. Okay? Finances? When you structure your finances according to God's principles, that is faith. Because it makes absolutely zero human sense to say that I will be better, in a better state, be more free, and have more if I keep only 80% for myself and give 10% and save 10% than if I kept all 100% for me and try to get more than on top of it. That makes no sense. But yet, when you do it according to God's principles, when you tithe, when you put him first, you put your shield, you put God's, you know, you put your faith in God, you put him first, that's what he does. He holds the enemy at bay. He reduces, you know, those, you know, he makes a way where there is no way. I love that song, you know. He puts the enemy to flight. And all of a sudden, you start to go, wow, you know, I'm holding the line here. And now he's bringing more resources along. And not only are we holding the line, but we're gaining ground here. But it makes no sense. Right? Employment changes. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, just yesterday, about, you know, a guy making a major change in their job. He's at peace. But he said, I don't know what the future holds. But I know it's the right thing to do. And I, you know, and I've been there too. I mean, I spent 20 years again carrying a shield, and you know, going to a job where I was driven by the clock, and like, okay, you check in at this time, and lunch is at this time, you got to be at court at this time, and everything's, you know, and I had a lot of leeway to do what I needed to do. But at the end of the day, it was the judge's court orders who said, Cliff, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to enforce. You need to make sure that this happens. Okay. To leave that's, look, I worked for county government. I mean, there's pretty much not a job that's more secure than that. Once you're in, you're in. You're not going anywhere. And to walk away from that, to walk away from a guaranteed paycheck, and walk away from all that structure, and I love structure, you know. Just tell me what I need to, you know, help me fit in there, and I can, right? To walk in that and to come in and work full-time at the church, to join my wife, who was already in full-time ministry, where we're both now kind of like putting it out there, like, God, this is all completely in your hands. If the church doesn't make it, I don't know what's going to happen to us. Right? God, you got it. I don't got this. And that was the struggle I had for many years. Because I was saying, oh, yeah, but inside I'm going, no, I can't do that. There's no way. God, you got the wrong guy. But we come to that place of surrender and say, God, I'm stepping out in faith. I'm putting you first. I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to be humble before you and be obedient to you and let you make the way. I'm going to let you clear the room. And I'll follow in behind you. Then we'll see. And then you come to that place where life is incredible. It's amazing. Faith moves. All right. I'm carrying a shield, right? Captain America's shield. You got to show at least one clip, right, Cliff? Come on. All right, this goes quick.
That thing does not obey the laws of physics at all.
Look, kid, there's a lot going on here that you don't understand.
That thing does not obey the laws of physics at all. All right, do you need to see that again? I think you need to see it again. Watch where he throws this, right? He throws it up there.
That thing does not obey the laws of physics at all.
Look, kid, there's a lot going on here that you don't understand.
He throws it out there, all of a sudden he comes back and catches it. It's not a boomerang, right? I love Spidey. That thing does not obey the laws of physics at all, right? Faith is not bound by conventional wisdom. Faith is on the move. Not only does it hold fast and helps us hold the line, faith moves out. And when we put our faith out there, it doesn't make human sense. It defies all human comprehension. But God is, when God's behind it, he makes a way, all right? I mean, this church, we're celebrating 40 years as a church again, you know? It's been a while since we said that, but all year long, we've had 40 years as a church doing something that people said, that's ridiculous, that's impossible, you can't do that, right? I'm pretty sure we can. God said I can, I'm pretty sure we can do it, right? But to build a church here, right? It makes no sense whatsoever. And then to structure it according to God's principle, like, you know, there's no denominational backing, there's no coffers in the back that are paying for stuff. We are entirely, when I say self-sufficient, I mean we are responsible for ourselves. There's no safety in that other than God, who said, I will build it. I'll do it. If you do it according to me, if my ways, if you're obedient to my ways, if you're faithful, if you're humble, then I'll do it. But it makes no sense, and yet it has thrived. It has endured. Has it always been easy? Nope, of course not. There's opposition. There's times where we've had to hunker down and just dig in and let the enemy expound himself and you know, let him rail against this shield and hold fast. We're not always on the move. We just came out of a year and a half. Well, not even out of it yet, I guess, right? A year and a half of just kind of like, okay, we've got COVID and lockdowns and all this stuff and absolute, you know, personal loss. And then there's fear and then there's worry and then there's all this and conspiracies and all this and all that other stuff. Have you hunkered down behind that shield of faith, or did you abandon, did you give up cover and get sidetracked? Well, this, that, the other thing, Fox says this, CNN says this, Facebook says that, my neighbor says this. What are you putting your trust in? Who are you trusting to guard that zone? If it's anything but God, I guarantee you've let yourself open to attack. Faith can stand firm and be on the move at the same time. Well, that doesn't make any sense, but it absolutely can. That's why I love this shield. That's why I love Cap, you know, because he takes it and he'll take the hits, but then it's also in an extension of himself. It can go out beyond his reach. Our faith extends beyond what we can grasp, what we can control, because it's not about us. It's about what God's doing, right? In times of uncertainty, pick up the shield. Don't lay it down. Don't abandon it. Don't give up ground. Pick it. That's the time to pick it up, hold fast, and then when God says it's time to move, then move. You know, I think about, again, about the church. I think I go back to, you know, when I went to the Christian school here, but, you know, we had started the Christian school here and attendance dropped and all that stuff, and I'm like, okay, God, what are we doing? And Rick came back with, God told him, build bigger. That makes no sense whatsoever. That thing does not defy the laws of physics at all. You just went through an incredible reduction in church and you're going to build something bigger? That's what we did, because that's what faith does. Faith goes out, it goes beyond what we can grasp, beyond what we can see. It's not bound by human logic or reasoning or understanding. But God says, this is what we're going to do, that's what we're going to do. And this is what he's done. You know, you're sitting in the building that was a step of faith. Jenny and I, and when I say pick up the shield, again, I understand what it means at times when the hard hits come to lay down the shield. Jenny and I were married for many, many years and then decided, you know, that we came to an agreement, the time is right for us to have a child. This is a desire of our heart, we're going to do that, you know, and because we're good people, and we're obedient to God, he's going to give us what we want like that. And I can remember vividly the conversation I had with Jenny, the we're like, okay, we're gonna try and have a child. And the first month afterwards that we knew, we're not having a child this month, and I knew, and Jenny was expressing her disappointment and her hurt. And in that moment, I know, I laid down my shield and said something to the effect of, well, you're not one, to, you know, like, you're expecting quick results, in essence. You know, like, did you really think it was going to happen right away? Me of little faith, you know. That lack of support, not surprisingly, did not help the conversation. Did not bring comfort to my wife. It was a moment of, really? Okay. Thanks. Now, I had plenty of opportunities over the next 3 years, every month, to revisit that. And I learned over time how to pick up the shield and how to use it and say, okay, well, it didn't happen. Here's the hurt. Here's the disappointment again. And now, Lord, instead of abandoning it, instead of pointing fingers or shifting blame, I'm going to pick the shield up and I'm going to cover myself and my wife. We're going to band together and we're going to just trust God that this is what he said. The desire is there. He's not taking the desire away, so therefore there has to be an answer out there somewhere. And for 3 years, we hunkered down behind our shield of faith saying, God, I don't know where this is going to end, how this is going to end, but you're going to make a way. And so, and I'm telling you, that making that decision is what allowed us, when that opportunity finally showed up, we had this, we found an invitation. Here's this infant baby girl who needs a place to stay. And my wife, I could see the emotion in my wife's eyes of, yes, here it is, I'll adopt her. And me, as the cynical, jaded law enforcement guy who should have said, slow down, relax, these kind of things rarely work out, do we even know what's going on here, all that blah, 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 all that stuff, didn't. In that moment, putting God first, I said, well, isn't that like God to throw us a curveball? Let's see what he does next. I was questioning, I'm like, who said that? Like, that's not me. Like, what? Right, Jenny's like, she's used to me saying, oh, you know, like, no, God's going to, all right. And then we had plenty of opportunity for the next 2 years as we rode that roller coaster of, is she going to really be ours? Is this really going to happen? And there's all these legal obstacles and all this stuff, and there's people who are absolutely working against us, and they want the control, and all back and forth, and up and down, all this stuff. And I remember we both had moments of humility and acknowledgement before God as we're watching this little child, this infant girl, completely amazed by her, where we said, God, if this doesn't work out, I will love you and I will serve you still. She doesn't belong to me. She doesn't belong to us. She belongs to you. Therefore, you do what is in your will. That will not affect how we respond to you. And I'm telling you, folks, that was the moment that it changed. That there was a spiritual breakthrough. That the forces of darkness began to flee and things began to move. But had we tried to control it or do it on our own or start pointing fingers at each other, it would have fallen apart. But we held fast, we geared up, hunkered down behind the shield of faith until the enemy had expended itself, and then God began to move. Learn to pick up the shield. We don't want to leave cover. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, "Fight the good fight, keep faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith." Laying down the shield is to abandon his truth, to abandon his righteousness, to abandon his peace, to abandon his salvation. All the other pieces, you know, they're grounded in God's truth, but when we lay this down, we invite ourselves open to an attack that we can't handle, and it's going to overwhelm those things and leave us hurt and injured and broken. There are times when all you can do is just button up and hunker down behind it, you know. And in the last 18 months, you know, the church has come under attack, not just from global pandemics and all that other stuff, but, you know, just the result of people who are hurt and fallen. And, we have a choice to make in those moments. You're going to stand behind your shield of faith? You're going to lay it aside. Because I'm telling you, when you're in a combat zone and you go back to, you know, when the enemy is expending itself and you look at the Roman phalanx there, you know, and all the soldiers are there designed, shields linked side by side because the shield was designed to protect you and protect the person next to you. When that assault is coming, that is not the time to lay it down and start pointing fingers at each other. Because when that happens, not only are you opening yourself to attack, you're opening other people up to it too. And there are times in our lives where that's all we can do. That's why Paul says it 3 times. Just stand firm. Link shields together. And if, you know, again, you know, hold fast on your own. And if it's too big for yourself, then find somebody else. Find a brother, find a sister, find a fellow warrior and link shields with them. Multiply your defenses. It's been 7 weeks since we have reinstituted Thursday night prayer and Bible study here on Thursday nights. And, you know, we didn't because of COVID and not meeting and all that limitations and stuff. And then summer, and I really felt, Jenny and I really felt confirmation together. It is time we have got to get back to corporate prayer. 7 weeks since it's been revisited. And I have been absolutely thrilled and just so happy to have 10 to 12 people every week coming out to pray. And I can tell you that I can sense an absolute change in the atmosphere in the church since it started happening. Because we have prayer warriors who are joining together and saying, you know what? We are going to commit to this. We're going to go to God's word. We're going to speak his word. We're going to wage war in the heavenly realms. And that has made a result. It has made a difference. Okay, when the big hits come, it is time to cover one another, not point fingers or shift blame. Because our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against each other. It's with the enemy. I love, and in just a minute, we're going to sing a song. You know, Jenny asked me the other day, she said, oh, I had the set list pulled. She said, we're going to do Amen Because He Lives. Is that okay? And I was like, yes, perfect. Absolutely. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He Lives, every fear is gone. I know He holds my life. My future is in His hands. Amen. Amen. So gear up. Let's read 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 10. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now let's read 1 Corinthians 15. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, be steadfast and immovable. Evil is temporary. This lifetime is short. The devil's time on this earth is short. He knows it. He knows he's lost. That doesn't stop him from attacking. That doesn't stop him from trying to delude, deceive, and as many people as he can into coming and into joining a losing battle, a losing side. Victory is assured for those who have said yes to Jesus, for those who have accepted a relationship with him through his death on the cross, and for those who do not abandon cover behind God's shield. So stand firm, resist him, and then experience the victory. Amen? Amen. Music team, you guys want to come up? As they're coming up, I want to give everybody here an opportunity. Give you an opportunity. First and foremost, I'm willing to bet there's somebody here who has never before put their faith in God. They've never said yes to a relationship with Him. And so, if you would just close your eyes for a minute. If that's you, if you're here to make a decision that says, I want to put my faith in God, I want to put Him first in my life, if that's you, just raise your hand so I can agree with you. Anybody here making that decision? Okay. Second question is, are you facing a situation or a circumstance in your life where you have laid down your shield? You've abandoned cover, but today's the day you're picking it up. You're going to stand fast under God's cover. If that's you, just raise your hand. Okay, see you. See you up there. Okay. We're going to pray. I'm going to lead us in prayer and just ask you to repeat it one sentence at a time after me, if you would. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in You. I believe that You died for me, gave Your life for me, so I could have a relationship with You. I look to You to be my shield, to protect me from the evils in this world. I put my trust in You, Lord. In every situation, in every relationship, I will not abandon Your cover. And I thank You that as a result, You will lead me in victory. Thank You for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It is a day of victory, folks. Walk in it, experience it.